Today's passage is John 16, 25 to 33. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father, and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly, and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things, and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This discourse in John, where Jesus is talking to his disciples before he is betrayed and crucified, Jesus has just told his disciples that they will have sorrow, but that sorrow will turn to joy. It is a very serious, sobering message that the world will hate the disciples because the world does not know Jesus or the Father, but still, the Spirit will empower them to be witnesses. Jesus has been preparing them for the cross and also for life after he ascends to heaven soon after the resurrection. So in the first verse, Jesus says, "The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but tell you plainly about the Father." Remember, all through the Gospel of John, a big theme has been Jesus using these very powerful, vivid figures of speech to share who he is and who the Father is. There are 7 I am statements that we've read through, from "I am the bread of life" to the last one in the previous chapter, "I am the true vine." Each of these works so well in their own ways, portraying how Jesus came to give life from the Father. For example, in the vine image, Jesus is the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser, pruning us as the branches so that we can bear even more fruit. As clear as those images are to us today, again, Jesus says to his disciples that one day it will be even more plain and clear. In verses 26 and 27, Jesus promises his disciples, and by extension us, a direct relationship with the Father. It's not that they have to ask everything through Jesus anymore, though of course he is the mediator and the great high priest. Jesus says the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and believed in me. Because the disciples had a love relationship with Jesus, they in turn have a love relationship with the Father. And because we have a love relationship with Jesus, we have a love relationship with the Father. It's never just one or the other, because Jesus and the Father are one. They're perfectly united. Here in John, Jesus has come from the Father and is returning to him. It's an incredible truth that Jesus has made a way to know God the Father. We may say it all the time as Christians that Jesus made the way, yet it may not hit us all the time that we can have a relationship with God, the creator of the universe, that he knows us and loves us. Let's reflect on this and praise Jesus for this. The disciples understand Jesus and believe that Jesus has indeed come from God. They say, "We finally get it. Jesus, now you are explaining in such a straightforward way." To which Jesus answers, "Do you now believe? Now is when you actually leave me, when you will scatter to your own homes." This is a very low point for the disciples. As a man, Jesus would feel the pain of seeing his closest friends deny him and leave him. He has known this would happen and yet he faithfully presses on. He doesn't get upset with them or rebuke them in the moment, like I'm sure many of us would if we were in his situation. Rather, he tells them, "Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I think these last two verses are amazing. Jesus shows how secure he is in the Father, how aware he is of his Father's presence. Again, physically, in a few hours, when the disciples scatter, he'll be left alone to suffer. Yet, Jesus knows the deeper spiritual truth that he is with the Father. And even though all the Father's wrath will be placed upon him, he is living in the Father's will. That soon, like he said, he'll be going back to the Father to be reunited with him. This is him living out the peace that he talks about in verse 33. And this is more evidence that he has truly overcome the world. In a time when the world would have him become bitter or angry, Jesus overcomes all that to stay committed to going to the cross, to loving his disciples. Jesus extends this peace to his disciples. They will scatter in a bit, but he knows they'll come back to him. And when things get crazy again after Jesus ascends to heaven, the disciples do in fact receive the Spirit. When they face tribulation, they take heart to overcome, just as Jesus did before them. Today, let's take in Jesus' words for ourselves. In the world, we will have tribulation. It's not a matter of if. As his disciples, there will be tribulation, there will be hatred from the world, as well as persecution and difficulties. Jesus tells us, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." Where are you facing tribulation or difficulty in your spiritual walk? If we are honest, like we heard at this young adult retreat for those of us who went there, we may be going through real spiritual apathy, where the main resistance is just us, and we feel like we just do not care. We may even become discouraged by seeing our own lack of disappointment from all this, that we are just okay keeping God at a distance. But whatever our challenges are, the solution is the same. We have to take heart that Jesus has overcome the world, that he has made a way to a love relationship with the Father, through our apathy and through every sin. And in him, we can overcome the world as well. Let's bring it all to God right now. Very plainly, Jesus says that the Father knows us and he loves us. Because we love Jesus, we can receive from him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these words. We thank you that they're true for the disciples back then, and they're true for us today. And Lord, I pray that you would help us really take these to heart, that when we see the tribulation in our walks with you, when we see difficulty and challenges, even if it's apathy from ourselves, Lord, that we would not get overwhelmed by that, but Lord, that we could see you and look to you, that we could take heart that you have overcome the world, that we can have this peace because of you, and this peace knowing that we're still with the Father. Lord, we thank you for your example, and we thank you for making the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.